The New York Post wrote a very interesting article on August 22, talking about the Democratic National Convention in Chicago this week. And they say it was really, well, they use a word I don't want to quote here, of a production. Less like a normal political convention and more like a glitzy Hollywood one with a host of A-list celebrities and B-list politicians. It felt most like the Oscars. So in honor of this, the Academy would be willing and like to hand out a set of awards for the best performances in Chicago this week. Best Actress, Nancy Pelosi. There really was no competition in this category. We will not soon forget the way in which she said that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had established one of the most successful presidencies of modern times. But the standout moment was her tribute to Biden. Only a few weeks ago, Pelosi went to see him and brutally ended his career, reportedly telling him he must either stop his run or get pushed out the hard way. Her performance was second to none as she paid tribute to the man whose career she so recently ended. And during Biden's own performance, she could be seen enthusiastically waving a "We Love Joe" sign. It takes an actor of once-in-a-generation skill to do what Nancy did. I want to interrupt this article in pointing out what Piers Morgan wrote in the New York Post on August 5. He wrote, "It's an open secret in Washington that Pelosi just did to Joe Biden what Marcus Brutus did to Julius Caesar." Now, if you know your history, you know that Marcus Brutus was one of the people gathering surrounding Caesar, and then everybody was stabbing him in the back with their knives. And Brutus was, of course, one of Caesar's loyal friends, so Caesar thought. He goes on to say, of course, she didn't actually kill him, but she did kill his political career. She appointed herself as chief assassin, albeit one who continued to support him publicly while knifing him in the back behind the scenes. Yet on Sunday, there was his assassin, Nancy Pelosi, popping up on CBS News Sunday morning to call for him to be added to Mount Rushmore, the great American stone shrine to democracy that features, of course, the heads of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. What Biden really knows is that one of his closest friends in politics, someone he has known and worked for and with for 40 years, and who, like him, is a devout Roman Catholic, who carries rosary beads in a pocket, pounced on him at his most vulnerable moment and devoured him like a ravenous jackal feasting on the still twitching carcass of an elderly bison. And in that moment, Nancy Pelosi revealed who she really is, a ruthless, conniving, mercilessly disloyal female version of Marcus Brutus. There is no record yet of what Biden said as he realized his own game was up, but it wouldn't surprise me, given their shared knowledge of the Latin phraseology from their faith. It was three simple words, "Et tu, Nancy," which means "you too, Nancy." So that was the article by Piers Morgan, but now I'd like to continue with the New York Post regarding the Oscars. The best supporting actress was Hillary Clinton, they say. Who could fail to be impressed when she talked about the way in which she held a smile, even as she said that Kamala should be the first woman to make it to the Oval Office? Some viewers may have gotten the feeling that Hillary was about to grab a bigger trophy and burst out screaming, "It should have been mine," at any moment. But she didn't. She kept herself measured and turned in a performance of rare, multi-layered complexity, underscored by a raw, sublimated rage. Now, I would like to add another reason why she should get the Best Supporting Actress Award is that she, even though she had been summoned with turning over evidence, had destroyed it, committing a crime. And Trump, who didn't destroy anything, is being prosecuted for not turning documents back to the government. Best actor, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton compared Joe Biden to George Washington, and said that, like Washington, Biden had excited the stage or exited the stage at a time of his own choosing. Historians are still looking for the Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and George Clooney characters of 1797, because when George Washington resigned, there was nobody who was trying to stab him in the back, forcing him to resign. Best supporting actor, Cardinal Blaise Cupid. I don't even know who that guy is, but here they say what he did. Leading a prayer on stage, he praised the idea of Americans being united by profound aspirations of life. The cardinal had clearly nudged towards the abortion trucks that were doing big business outside the convention. You probably read about that. The really despicable group had those abortion trucks outside, and everybody could go there and get an abortion in those trucks. The Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Oprah Winfrey. She will be remembered not least for her inspiring claim that she understood, because she had suffered from, income inequality. She has suffered from income inequality, one of the richest persons in the world. I think you will see what I'm trying to get at, because there's something in common with everything which has been said so far and which is going to be said right now. The best animated feature goes to Joe Biden. It is amazing what modern animation can achieve. Way past his normal bedtime of 4 p.m., a character amazingly resembling Joe Biden took the stage. He managed a whole speech, whipped himself up into a rage over things that nobody said, and wiped a tear from his face as he accepted the gratitude of a party that wanted him gone. Special effects, the Democratic National Committee. Sometimes it takes a whole team, and the award for best special effects has to go to none other than Kamala Harris and her team of advisors. In a matter of weeks, they have managed to turn a hopeless candidate into a front runner. The first special effect was the claim that the crazy Kamala laugh was not embarrassing, but was in fact Brett. Then we learned that all the word salads and wine mom mannerisms were in fact joy. Finally, we are being told that someone who has been vice president for the past 4 years was both in charge and not in charge, knows what to do, but hasn't done it so far, and can both claim credit for the economy and yet insists it needs fixing. In the process, the Democrats have managed to create a whole new candidate, not the Kamala we thought we knew, but a new special Kamala, I think it is, right? Who cares? A special Kamala, whom we apparently don't know at all. A Kamala who is hyper-competent, super-inspiring, and a fresh face in politics. It rivals Avatar, The Matrix, Star Wars, as one of the great special effects achievements of all time, and deserves its top prize. These are, of course, very satirical comments, but I thought they were very appropriate, but there are some which are missing. I would like to give another award, at least as best supporting actor, to Tim Walz, the guy who wants to be the vice president in case Kamala Harris wins. Daily Mail wrote on August 22. Tim Walz is everything Kamala Harris needs him to be. Steady Midwesterner, brave veteran, working class hero, bumbling dad, and oh yes, a compulsive liar. Whether Coach Walz is spinning a yarn about using weapons of war during his pretend time in combat, or concocting a tale about his long-suffering wife, Gwen's IVF treatment that didn't actually happen, this dude is willing to spend credibility for the cause. Another one, as I would say the second best supporting actress, if not the best supporting actress, would have been Michelle Obama. The Guardian wrote on November 11, 2016, about her decision not to run. She feels politics is very dirty, and she doesn't want to be in the gutter. But then she asked everyone to vote for Kamala, even though she initially refused to endorse her. And that brings me to the second best leading actor, if not the best leading actor, Barack Obama. Breitbart wrote on July 21, Obama and Pelosi stand out among Democrat leaders for not specifically endorsing Harris. New York Post wrote on July 22, after Democratic Bakes knifed Joe Biden in the back, wresting the candidacy from his stubborn, locked grip, they rushed to valorize him with effusive praise and glowing political obituaries. They have called him a patriot and a hero. The trinity of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, especially with the backing of the big money donor class in Hollywood hotshots, in a calculated campaign to remove the president, threatened him with the 25th Amendment in a palace coup. And then the New York Post wrote on July 24, Obama's hope was to get Biden out of the way. And an op-ed written by George Clooney, you know that actor, in the New York Times asking him to step aside was a part of that plan. However, the higher ups in the Democratic Party didn't count on Biden endorsing Harris right away. I think it was a matter of revenge. Biden did that because he knew that Obama, et cetera, didn't want him to. So he endorsed her right away, and Obama was shocked when the president endorsed her. Obama is furious that things haven't gone his way, which is why he is not joining in the Democratic Party's support of Harris. Until finally, Barack Obama and Michelle endorsed Harris in this infamous phony phone call. You might have all heard about it and seen. Absolutely phony. Absolutely staged. So that's why they deserve, most certainly, awards for the at least second best leading actors and actresses. But I don't want to just limit it to the Democrats, because they don't have a corner on the market either. Let's talk a little bit about the Republicans. Let's talk about Trump. You know, you all heard about now Kennedy and Trump are together, and it looks like that Kennedy is going to get some kind of a job in Trump's cabinet if Trump wins. It was announced today that it will have to do in the area of health, which makes all the sense in the world to me. But the New York Post wrote on August 22 that the 45th president has said he would be open to a Kennedy endorsement and would even consider adding him to his team. I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I probably would if something like that would happen, in other words, would give him a job. Trump told CNN about the possibility of adding Kennedy to the administration. The Sun wrote on August 24, hours after Kennedy Jr. announced that he would suspend his campaign for president, he made a surprise appearance at Trump's rally in a show of support. I don't think I've ever introduced anyone who's gotten applause like he just did, Trump said, when Kennedy entered. Trump called Kennedy his friend and said he ran an extraordinary campaign for the last 16 months. He is a brilliant, phenomenal person. I am proud of Bobby if you want to know the truth. But only on April 28 of this year, we heard some other words from Trump. The Telegraph wrote then, Trump described Mr. Kennedy as a radical left liberal who has been put in place to help crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, get reelected. He said Mr. Kennedy was far more liberal than anyone running as a Democrat. Junior's so-called independent, but he is not. He is a radical left lunatic. No Republican can vote for this guy, he said. Do you see the common theme? What about Vance, the supposed vice president, if Trump wins? In 2016, he said, according to Bild Online, he is simply a bad man, a morally reprehensible person. The Guardian wrote on July 27 that Vance was elected because he faithfully reflected the ideological gut instincts of Trump, despite having previously called him America's Hitler. So I want to leave it with that and just give you the common denominator, which is hypocrisy. All of these examples show an utmost degree of hypocrisy all the way through. Now, we shouldn't be that surprised, because we know how a politician is defined. A hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor. He's an actor who puts on an act. Now, some are very good actors, as you have in theaters, if you have in movies. They're very good actors, very convincing. It almost sounds like they are representing what they show, and that's what they are. Others are not that good, an actor, and so you can sue them, see through them right away. But the bottom line is they're all actors. Every single one of those I've mentioned today are actors, are hypocrites, are those who are changing their opinions by the wind, depending on what is most, you know, beneficial to them. When I read these things, and many more I could bring up, it showed again the utmost dirty, rotten, evil world of politics. It is so rotten and so evil that no true Christian should have anything to do with it. I mean, you read that and you hear that, and you just know you cannot trust a word any of these guys are saying. They're all lying to your face, but they are smiling to you, pretending as if they are something while they are nothing, absolutely nothing. And so we are living in this dirty, rotten world, and the world which, of course, gives us a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. I was just reading this morning that in my hometown I grew up in, I lived in, I was born in, my son Michael was born in the same town in Germany, Solingen. A maniac went out during a celebration and just killed, arbitrarily, with a knife. Three people, four are in critical condition, just goes on into this festival and kills them all. They don't know who it is yet, they haven't found him yet, they are looking for it. Germany is in uproar. They say, how can this happen in our country? I mean, you don't even have to have the gun to do this, right? He's using a knife. So this is the kind of world we're living in, this complete, total, utter maniacs. So let's pray to God, in light of everything I've said today, that he will bring his son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth soon, sooner than later. In the meantime, we have to do what we need to do to continue our job and to perhaps see to it that we get to the point where we even help, making it sooner, making it possible sooner, not to delay it, but to hasten the return of Christ.